wanted to discuss this morning in the next few days some very important things that come up about Bishul and Shabbos that people sometimes go their whole lives they don't know. We have to know is with B'nai Torah, Halacha L'maaseh. You know, Bishul is one of the Lamed Tes Melachos on Shabbos, and it applies to solids, liquids, and even metals. We soften the metal or harden the metal. The Gemara says, according to the Rambam, you be chayav. We constantly like that Bishul Gemara. So you can cook foods in the ovenness, you can cook liquids, and you can cook metals. So we have to realize that it's osur. It could be the softening is what's osur, it could be the hardening is osur, whatever it is. So it plays Rashi Rambam, but the bottom line is that it's osur. So I wanted to talk about a few very important halachas that come up that we have to know about Bishul. And Bishul Midiraisa has to be in a situation where it's in a Kli Rishon. It has to be Ala Eish or in a Kli Rishon. Okay? Does everyone know Ala Eish means? On the fire. So if you would cook some food on the fire, we would be over in a Midiraisa. What if you had something in a Kli Rishon that's off the fire? It's really, really hot. Really, really hot, and I drop something in there, that Kli Rishon that has food in there, and I drop something in there, it would cook that. Would I be chayav? Yes, I would. I definitely would be chayav. And the degree of Bishul to be chayav is you need Yatzel Lettuce Bowl. Yatzel Lettuce Bowl is like this. I take my hand and my finger would move away. It has to be of the degree of Yatzel Lettuce Bowl to be chayav. Okay, so it doesn't just need Aleish, it can be Shalog Aleish. And that's a very important halacha, we have to keep that in mind. Halacha L'maaseh. We assume that a Kli Sheni is not Mavashel. You know what a Kli Sheni is? Kli Sheni is, let's say you have an urn with water in it, that's a Kli Rishon. If I dispense the water, it goes into a Kli Sheni. Kli Sheni normally is not Mavashel, with the following exception, which is called Kalei HaBishul. Kale is with a kuf, things that can be easily cooked, okay? So things that can be easily cooked, we do say it's usher and even in a Kli Sheni. And then there's something called a Kli Shlishi. So, for example, a Moshe writes you should make a tea in Kli Shlishi. So I take the urn, which is a Kli Rishon, I put it in the cup Kli Sheni, I put it in another cup Kli Shlishi, and then I can what? Then I can put the tea bag in. Now, is anyone familiar with the halacha of Tzvi of Oakland? Of dying foods? You ever heard of that? Or dying drinks? Anyone familiar with that? We didn't look that up yet. Remember we were talking about that? So we'll have to look that up this week. But the bottom line is, with Moshe Rosh, you're allowed to make a tea in a Kli Shlishi. But the Mishnah Berurah argues. The Mishnah Berurah says that's not us. That's not permissible because it's steaming hot. So even if it's a Kli Shlishi, it's a problem. So I don't know if you ever heard of the concept called tea essence. You know what tea essence is? You take a teapot, stick a bunch of tea bags in from before Shabbos, and cook it up. You actually put water on it, you cook it up, and then it's like liquefied. So I can basically pour that in to a Kli Sheni if I wanted to. Because I took the water from the urn, it's in a Kli Sheni, and I pour that essence in, because that's been cooked already. Yes, it's a concentrate, correct, Mayor, and that's called Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. When I deal with a solid food, if I cook the potato and I reheat a potato, if I cook it in Erev Shabbos and I reheat it, that's an Issur Rabbanan. That's not an Issur Rabbanan, that's called Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. Whereas when it comes to liquids, if I cooked up water and it cooled down and I reheat the water, I'm Chayav Skew. You got that? That's a fundamental difference between what? Solids and liquids, you have to know. Ein Bishul Achar Bishul is only by what? It's only by solids, but by liquids it's not. Some post from our Mako, but we're mocking. Yes, Pinyon.
Tea essence liquid? The whole point is that it's super concentrated liquid. So it says that
right,
essentially.
But it was cooked already.
Right, but the Rebbe just said that there is Bishul Achar Bishul for liquid. So tea essence is a liquid. So it still would be Bishul. I don't know how that solves the
issue. It's not solving Bishul, it's solving a dying problem.
It also solves the visual issue too as well.
TS doesn't solve the visual problem, it solves the design problem. The visual is in and of itself is the Koshini.
It solves both. The question is why?
I thought Koshini solves the visual problem and TS solves the design problem.
No, because if it's Kaliab visual, we assume it's been cooked already, but he's saying that it's a liquid. So how does that help you? It does solve the visual problem. The question is why though? Bruce says it does, but the question is why?
Are we saying if you use TS, you don't need to use Koshini?
No. You put it in a cliche.
But why would you if it solves the visual problem?
Would you say?
Why would you if it, why not?
No, you can't put it in a cliche.
Right, because it's visual.
Right,
so and you put it in a cliche. Solve the visual problem.
Right, no,
it didn't solve the visual problem.
The reason
you put it in the machine is so it solves visual problems.
The problem originally was that you're cooking with tea bags.
Right,
the tea bags cooked down.
But
the
oven's saying it's a liquid now.
It's a flavor. You gotta put water into a cup of hot water. Why is it
a cup of water? No, you gotta put
water. You can't put it into a cup of water. It's a machine, not a solution. You're right, it's a hot water urn.
What we're saying is that a cliche is fine. Why is it? It's not fine according to the Mr. Brewer, but
according to the Mr. Brewer, she's not fine.
He holds that as long as it's hot, the Adnis Mitzvah, it's burning hot, so there's no heter. The question is, TS and solves the problem. How does it solve the problem? Isn't that a liquid? So maybe what you do is you pour it in first, no? All right, we got to look into that. Why is the essence good? But that's a fundamental place to the motion of Mishnah Brewer. Why is a cliche point of motion is good, but according to Mishnah Brewer, it's not good. You have to use a cliche essence. How does the essence solve the issue? Okay? Alright, we gotta look into that more.
Okay.
So we have to always be aware of what's going on with the visual process. So that's regarding the concept of visual media risa, and visual media risa can apply also to something that's called the dover gush. You know what a dover gush is? So you have a hot potato from the chilling, and you put it on your plate. It's a cliche, but it's so intense the heat that if you would put some salad next to it or whatever, a vegetable, it would cook it. That would also be visual media risa, according to the Marshal. Marshal writes a dover gush is mabasha even in the cliche. So that's why a lot of people are machmer. I try to be machmer myself and put cholent on the plate. I always try to move away cold, raw things from it because those things haven't been cooked already. And if you cook them, that could be a problem with your rice. Okay, that's a big problem. I want you to know that. So basically, if I ask you, give me a few exceptions where you can revive the rice on bishul and cliche. Number one, kaliab bishul, things that are easily cooked. Number two, what's an example? Does anyone know an example of Kaliab Bishul? Is salt? Does anyone know what is an example of Kaliab Bishul? All right, we got to look into that. What's a famous example of Kaliab Bishul? Is it an egg?
Is it salt the other way? Yeah, something like, I remember, we got to find the example.
That's the way the Shulchan says, but we want to know, the Gemara does give an example. So one exception was what Kaliab Bishul, what's the other one? Dover Gush, okay? So we have to keep this in mind. Now the reason why Klishen is not a vassal person says because the walls of the bowl are cold. And when I was your age, we were a little bit younger than that, the caterers used to heat up the bowls. So that would take away of Tulsa Svara. I don't think they do it too much nowadays. But the bottom line is that you have to know that you can be over the right Sa'ala Aish with a Klerisha Chalog Avesh, Klerisha Enam Avashal, with the exceptions of Kali Abishal and Dover Gush. And Klerisha Damachlesha Moishin and Shabura, which we've got to figure out why TS solves the problem, according to the Mishnah Brewer. Now, that's the concept of the Raisa when it comes to cooking. That's why you cannot cook on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Now, You might be asked sometimes, are you allowed to have a goy at your table on Shabbos? So the halacha is you are. You are allowed to have a goy at your house on Shabbos. You're not allowed to have a goy at your table on Yontif. Very interesting. Why? Because on Shabbos it's usher to cook anyway. Whereas on Yontif it's mutter to cook, but you might end up cooking a special dish for the goy. And that would be a transgression of the heter of cooking on Yontif. It says lachem, cannot be lo la'akum, cannot be for goy, below the klavim, you can't go below the gavoa. You have to cook it specifically for yourself. So that's why you're allowed to have a goy in your house for a Shabbos table. A guy, let's say, wants to convert. In fact, I was just asking the Shiloh right before on Kol HaMoed. So I said, you're not allowed to have a goy in your house on Yontif. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, that's all added on a reason why you're not allowed to have a goy at the Seder. Because the Seder kind of reenacts Korban Pesach. A goy can't eat the Korban Pesach. So you shouldn't have a goy at your house either specifically on the Seder or any Yontif meal. A lot of guys don't know this. So someone asked me, oh, so then how can you have a goy who wants to convert? How can he convert? I said, what's the big deal? He has to be at your table for a Yontif to experience that before becoming a Jew? It's enough he's at a Shabbos table. He'll figure out how to run a Yontif table. He has to be at your... I told someone they should have that in the protocol of having gayer, that they should not allow a goy to go to a Yontif table. Shabbos table, fine. Oh, how's he going to know the experience? You don't. It's enough to be at a Shabbos table.
Can you go to a Yontif table on Shabbos?
No. Shabbos, it comes on
Shabbos, Yontif.
Yeah, because you can't cook on Shabbos. Right.
What if he's going through, like, that's, you know, yeah. He's going through conversion.
Same thing. Until he's Jewish, he's a goy name. You don't need to be at a Yontif table to experience what's going on. Okay? So, therefore, it's very important to note this, that, you know, Bishul is a very important thing. And the reason why the Balamor said Shulik became a famous thing in Klal Yisrael, why did Shulik become famous? Because the Karoyim took the pasuk literally. And you cannot ignite a flame, you used to sit in the dark, and then eat everything cold. That's why they used to have at lunch something hot to show that we were talking to Beit Parashat Balfet. So it's always important to have something hot on Shabbos lunch. Friday night, of course, you're going to have something hot. But Shabbos morning, it's important to have something hot too as well, if you can, chillin'. And that's why, because we interpret it in that way. So this is a very important dig. And let's finish up the D'oraisa here, and then we want to get started with Seder, and then we'll continue the rest of the week on the D'rabbanan. I don't know if you ever heard of this. There's something called Yesh Bishul Acharafia. Yes? Yesh Bishul Acharafia. I think a great example is that everyone loves soup, right? Everyone loves soup. Friday night soup, chicken soup, Imam Harina Kaparas Mishkova. The phrase you're supposed to say in the first year after they passed away, that her death should be an atonement for her. She's a tremendous cook, a great soup maker. My wife, she should live in UL, also a great soup maker. Everyone loves soup. Question is, Friday night, you like to dip the challah in the soup, right? Who likes to dip the challah in the soup? I do. Question is that permissible? That's a very good example to investigate these things. Okay, very good example to investigate these things. And for that matter, let's complete it with croutons. Who likes croutons? I like croutons. Or soup nuts, however you want to call them, right? So, I remember in Yeshiva, so there was a few guys that always would bring soup nuts to the table for their soup, right? The guys who want to borrow, you know. I remember one of my friends got so annoyed at one of the other guys, because every time he used to borrow, he used to always want his soup nuts. But Lamaisa, what do you do? So let's think. The soup is piping hot, no doubt. Piping hot. And it's no doubt that it's not a Kli Rishon. The pot of soup is a Kli Rishon. You dealt out the soup with a ladle. Now I want you to notice, there's a machlokas Tazmar Shal, is the ladle a Kli Sheni or is it a Kli Rishon? You understand what I'm saying? Everyone agrees if you leave the ladle in, that's a Kli Rishon. But once you take it out, is that a Kli Sheni? And then when you put it in the bowl will be a Kli Shlishi. Depending on how you view a ladle, yes? So basically, if you review a ladle as a cru rishon, extension of pot, and you put it in the soup, that's a cliché. The problem is, Ramaisa, when you put bread in, bread is baked already. Now, it could be that this is so piping hot, and maybe we review it as Kale Abishal too, that when you dip the bread in, you're over Yesh Bishal Akrafia. You're cooking it out after it's been baked. So that is why it is better never to dip fowl into the soup unless it's like at least a kli, let's say, revive. Meaning, you have, let's say, you had soup, you pour it into what's it called, a terrain, another serving pot, and then from there, you would put it in a bowl with a ladle, so it's definitely extended far away from the pot. What'd you say? Yeah, usually it's not a good practice to me because people don't end up waiting. So that's what I would advise. Now the soup nuts are a little different because those are fried sometimes. Depends on the soup nut. Now frying is like bishul. What do we say? In bishul or bishul. So maybe it's more of a cool on the what? On the soup nuts that have been fried. But the different type of soup nuts you gotta check. So what I would advise is that if it's better, if you can somehow, get into a third or fourth cleat, that would be the best bet, if possible, to avoid this issue. Yes, Eliezer.
And the bread in the soup is dissolved, so that's cooking.
Yeah, cooks the bread.
It falls apart.
Yeah, but it still cooks it. You know, it still cooks it. Softens it really well, and it cooks it. It cooks it. Took something that was hard and softened it. So, what did you say? Even so, it's still a solid. Still a solid. So, what do you guys normally do in your home? You got the pot of soup. You probably just dish it out to your bowls, no? If you take it out, then you guys are relying on the sheet that it's a cliche. And then when it gets in your bowl, it's a cliche, and then it would be okay. Alright? And then it would be okay. But the Lamaisa, I want you to be aware of it, Lamaisa, and like in the sukkah, we bring the soup out in like a different, like a china thing, you know what I mean? Then that's much better because it was in the bowl, it was in the pot, now it's in this china thing, and you used a ladle to do that, so by the time it gets in the bowl, it's like a reveal already. Okay, but I want you to be aware of the concepts. That's the difference maybe between the bread and the soup nut, okay? To keep that in mind, okay? Now, what we have to discuss, and we won't discuss today, but the issue of the Rabbanans, once you take it off, are you able to put it back on, which is a completely different area called the Rabbanans. But there are a lot of different examples that come up of this will be rice, and we have to be very cognizant of it and very careful about it. And I'll just close with this last example. Everyone has the Marmachimus, okay? We're starting that base today. If you have questions, you ask me. A lot of times, people will take liquidy things and warm it up for lunch, which is a big problem, guys. That could be a deraisa. I don't know. Let's say you had meatballs. You want to heat them up for lunch. That's a liquid. All that stuff, that gravy and stuff, is a liquid, guys. The meatball might be solid, but the sauces and everything. It's definitely a problem, and you cannot heat that up. Anything that is a liquid, you cannot heat up. If it's a solid, it's ain bishul achar bishul, right? And we'll talk about examples how that's okay to do that. You have to put a kli agavah there. Yes, Jonathan.
What about like heating up chicken and layers, like in the
field? Yeah, that's a good question. Usually we're makel on it. If it's like a little bit, usually we do that as part of the chicken. Okay. But if we're talking about liquidy meatballs, forget about it, okay? All right, let's stop here. Please work hard at that base with the mission and the ration.